Good morning with us, our political observer, Alan Shartok. And on a Monday morning, Alan, I see an article sent to us by our own Ian Pickus, Partners in Power, the Unlikely Alliance of Andrew Cuomo and Chris Christie.
Yes, and what part of this didn't we know? You know, it was a good, very good article, very detailed, city and state, laid it all out. But we basically have been talking about this for a long time. We know that Andrew Cuomo was not really committed to electing a Democratic state Senate, even though he said he was and promised the Working Families Party that he would help. But then when it came down to two senators, Kasich and Gibson, he didn't do what he needed to do. So we had all of that. Then they also tell us the remarkable insight. And, you know, I'm not being cynical here because they did a very good job of it. But we knew that he and Chris Christie have been playing political footsie for a long time, leaving the New York State Republicans and a very good chairman that they have, Ed Cox, in limbo because, you know, they wanted to win a gubernatorial election. And they got themselves a good candidate, Rob Astorino. He wasn't positioned well in terms of his philosophy, but he was about as good as they were going to get. And Christie, who was the head of the Republican Governor's Association, did nothing to help the Republicans in his next-door neighborhood. This is why people start talking about Republicrats, because they're sort of marriage of convenience. And as the article points out, we're talking about two very tough men. Christie, who has a better gift of getting along with his public. In other words, you may not like him if you're a Democrat, but he is able to get out there and glad hand and make people think that he likes him. This is very different than Cuomo's political skills. Cuomo, by the way, as I've been saying for a little while now, deserves kudos for the way he's been handling the Western New York Buffalo situation. He's been out there day after day after day. He's been showing the flag. It's what a leader does, and he deserves it. There have been people who are cynical even about that and say, you know, well, he's just doing it because he's a politician. So what? I mean, that's what a good politician does. So it's a mixed bag. And, you know, you see the insides of the sausage in the sausage-making factory when, you know, something like City and State does this very detailed and good article. But on the other hand, we pretty well have been telling everybody about this right here.
Alan, will Texas kill an insane man? This is the editorial in the New York Times today. By any reasonable standard, Scott Panetti is mentally incompetent.
Well, you know Texas, and I know Texas, and we have been watching them move steadily to the right on things like death penalty. If the Supreme Court doesn't come in and say you can't kill a mentally incompetent person, then he'll die. You know, for the families of those people who have been killed by somebody who's insane, you say, okay, then, you know, my kid is dead. You're walking around and you say you're mentally incompetent. Well, for all of those of us who understand the problems of the mentally ill, we sort of get to that point where we say, okay, then it's not really right to kill somebody like that. On the other hand, there are cultures in this world who say, we're sorry that you're mentally ill, but you killed somebody and you have to go. And there is vast public sympathy for that position. Politicians who are anti-death penalty lose their offices all the time. So let's remember that there are a lot of people out there who think an eye for an eye. I just happen not to be one of them.